Good morning. Great joy for all people. This is the announcement of the angelic host in Luke chapter 2. Today we're gonna talk about joy. We've talked about hope. We have looked at peace as we're in the season of the Advent. And we also looked at love last week. And today we're gonna sit with this thought of joy. As I was thinking about joy and I was meditating on it, I was almost seeing that joy was almost a bit of an enigma. It was something that needed to be sat with, something that needed to be pondered upon. And as I did that, I noticed that joy, it was multifaceted. It had different layers to it. There were different things about joy. Joy wasn't simple. So I want to spend today just a few moments with you and look at the different layers of joy, the different things that we can observe and experience of joy. And to do that, we're going to go to the Psalms. We're going to hang out in the Psalms. We're also going to look at some of the writings of Paul and the authors of the New Testament. And also, I want to share some moments of joy that I've experienced in these different layers. And then we're going to ask some questions of us at Christmas time this year regarding joy. So initially, when we look at joy, we think of this happiness, this elatement, this excitement, this just overwhelming sense of joy. That is a very true element of joy. The psalmist talks about this and he says, "My heart leaps with joy. My heart leaps with joy." I don't even know how a heart leaps, but it's something that's happened within us, or it's just like, wow, we can't believe it. And this is that excitement, this is that joy, this is that overflowing, this is that elation that we see with joy. We witness this when we see, you know, I witnessed this myself when I was at the playground the other day with Mircea. And if we have a photo, if we can just pull that up, like, I can't look at that photo and not go, yes, my heart leaps with joy. We see this when we open a present that we've just been wanting to get. Our heart leaps with joy. We see this when something happens, something unexpected, and it is awesome. Our heart leaps with joy. This is that joy that we would often describe in our world as happiness, just total joy. We feel just this abundant joy within us. Our heart leaps with joy. This is a joy that happens through giving gifts, seeing people's eyes filled with wonder and surprises. This is good. We feel this throughout our life. And this is an obvious source of joy. This is a joy that's derived from circumstances, from things that have happened. It's usually, and we're rejoicing in whatever was. We might rejoice at our birthday. We might rejoice at a party. This is that kind of joy. And the question I have for you here is, do we give ourselves permission to enjoy it? Do we actually give ourselves permission to allow our heart to look stupid and to leap with joy? Do we give ourselves permission to experience the essence of it? Or do we kind of allow the moment to be robbed from us? I was thinking about this as for a while now, as I knew I was talking about joy. And I almost wonder if there's something that takes away the moment of joy from our lives. Are we present to that joy? Are we present in that moment? If you pull up the photo of the swing, I can be present in that moment, or I can be like, "You're swinging. Big deal. Everybody does it." I can be present to that joy, or I can allow myself not to experience it. And as I was thinking about this a while ago, I went off social media. And I went off social media because of, I don't know when I'm going to go back. I just decided that I wanted to go off for a season. Because what I noticed is that the now in my life was being robbed by what I was looking forward to in the next. And that doesn't mean that the next is bad, but I don't actually have the next yet. All I have is the now right now. And so I went off social media, but I was reminded, I told this story before, and if you've heard it, bear with me and just embrace it with me for a moment. But this was a groundbreaking, mind-shifting moment in my life. I was surfing one day at Alexandra Headland, and it was an awesome day. We were out, I was with friends, like it was fantastic. Had the best day, one of those days where you're just like, man, that was incredible. I am so grateful for today. And I went home, and that night I was scrolling through Instagram and scrolling through Facebook. And I saw that some of my friends had been down in Caloundra at Happy Valley, which is a break that never breaks, like very rarely. And it was pumping. Like I'm talking overhead barrels standing up. And I'm like, oh. The joy I knew in that day was gone. It was replaced with what I missed out on. I was no longer grateful for the day that I had. I was now wishing, but I didn't get stand-up pits in Caloundra. Like, what was going on? I totally missed, and I let the envy of what someone else had experienced rob me from the joy that I had in my life. My heart was leaping for joy, but then it became envious, and I became wondering, man, I missed out. What? I didn't miss out. My heart leaps for joy. Are we present to the gift that's in front of us? Do we give ourselves permission to receive it? What does it look like for you to receive the gift? What does it look like for you to be present to the gift that's given to you? Permission to rejoice. Permission to allow your heart to leap for joy. There's a less obvious source of joy that the psalmist talks about. And to delve into this less obvious joy, I want to look at this passage in the Psalms. If you want to bring it up on the screen there, it's from Psalm 65, verse 8. Let's look at this together. The whole earth is filled with the awe of your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. Does anyone know where that is, where the morning dawns and the evening fades? We can't really find that. That happens all across the world at different times. You might find it and then it's gone. It's somewhere else. So this is a Hebrew nod to saying that the joy that is called forth is everywhere. This joy that's called forth is everywhere. It's not to be missed. This joy that's called forth is all-encompassing. This joy that's called forth is in friendships. It's in relationships. I love it that in Proverbs we see that this joy is found in a glass of wine. My heart is made glad. You've given me wine for gladness. This is a gift. There's joy that's all around us that's encompassing. But this is less obvious, hey, because once again, the question is, do we see it? Do we notice that joy? Do we receive that joy? Do we allow ourselves to experience that joy? When you eat a delicious meal, it's just so, sometimes it's funny because we let the everyday moments in life lose their sacredness. I think that this is reminding us that everything that we have around us is gift from above. When you have that delicious meal, give thanks because and let your heart leap with joy. Be joyful. In the relationships that you have, yes, we go through trials in relationships, but this joy reminds us, man, let us call forth joy in our relationships, in our friendships. This joy reminds us to receive the smiles, the hugs, the handshakes. This joy reminds us to see joy in all things. As the psalmist says that you call forth joy where the morning dawns in the evening ends and morning dawns. I have a photo here of friendship because this is what I was thinking about this. I was like, man, I'm grateful for my friends. I'm grateful for the people in my life that call me out when I'm just talking absolute crap. I'm grateful for the people in my life that encourage me, They'd encourage me to keep going. They're friends. I'm grateful for that. Yeah, we fight. Yeah, we have problems, but I'm grateful for them. So I wonder at Christmas time if we could take a little bit of time, maybe this week as we're leading into Christmas, today even, to sit with what do we have? What have we been given? What can we find joy in today, in the now? And maybe if it is a friend that you're like, man, I'm so grateful for that person, jot down and be like, hey, man, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for you. I find joy in you. People look at me like, what? You find joy in me? That's crazy. I find joy in you. I find joy in this. This is, I reckon, the psalmist inviting us to open our eyes and to look around us. I find joy in you guys. I find joy in this space. My heart leaps for gladness when we're worshiping together. When Hannah was sharing the song that she was gifting us, my heart was leaping with gladness. What a gift! What a vulnerable gift to invite us into a space where we can make statements of faith that say, I love you, Lord. This is that joy I reckon that the psalmist is talking about. It's everywhere. But the question is, do we see it? Do we treasure these things? There's another layer of joy. And this is what I meant by joy is multifaceted. It's multi-layered. And this is another layer of joy that isn't often talked about. It's around us. It's joy that we experience. It's not only less obvious. This joy is oftentimes beneath the surface. It's the part of the Christmas story that might get swept over, might get ignored or glossed over at Christmas time. This is the tension of the arrival of the Christ child in the mourning town of Bethlehem. I started thinking about the shepherds who received this announcement of great joy, the ones that we heard of in the beginning when Lauren was reading. And they were likely, most likely from the region of Bethlehem. And I'm sure many of them would have had children in Bethlehem. And here they're given this announcement of great joy that is meant to be great joy for all people. But they don't know what's coming. They don't know that a few months later, a wicked king is going to be incredibly jealous of this King Jesus that has been born. And this wicked king makes this edict and this order to execute every single child in Bethlehem 2 years old and under. What do we do with that? These shepherds were just told, this is news, this is great joy for all people, yet I'm guessing that one of their children, one of these shepherds would have had a child, and one of their children would be no more. Scripture tells us of this atrocity, and it says in the book of Matthew that a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Great news for joy. Where is joy in this moment? Which begs this question. Can joy be found in suffering? There's a passage in Hebrews that I think helps us with this question, and it's ever since I heard I was speaking on joy, this passage has been in my head, and I've been like, why is this passage ringing in my ears? But let's have a look at this passage in Hebrews. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. This is talking about Jesus. The joy that was set before him enabled him to endure the cross. What was the joy that was set before Christ? The healing of humanity, disrupting the cycle of sin and shame, which Hannah was singing about earlier. And man, when she sang that lyric where the grave has lost its power, sin has lost its power, my heart leaped with joy. Setting humanity free, setting men and women free, past, present, and future. The joy that is set before us. Nearly 2 years ago, Demi and I received the news that Dad, he had multiple myelomas and his cancer numbers were going through the roof, and we needed to head home. We needed to head back to the States to be with him. And this is a photo of myself with Dad days before he passed away. And this is a moment where I was in great suffering, but I also knew joy. How did I know joy in this moment? Well, I was grateful and I found joy in moments that I'd had with Dad in the past, and I treasured those. I also found joy in the moment that I'm here with him in the now. I saw it. I was present with it. But I don't know if it was those moments that sustains me today. I think there was another joy that I knew in that moment, and that joy was what was set before him and what was set before me. The joy of the Lord that says that Christ has conquered the grave, that there is no brokenness that is too broken that God cannot restore, that God will bring beautiful things out of broken things. And it is that joy infused into that moment that enabled me to know joy. It is that hope that is set before us. This is what the exiles are longing for. We hear about it in the song, "Oh come, oh come, oh come, Emmanuel, come and rescue us." This is the story of Christmas. The world longing for redemption. And this is the Advent where we are reminded that Christ has come. Christ is come, but Christ is coming. And all tears will be wiped away from our eyes. And we will no longer know death because it has lost its power. This is the joy that makes my heart leap for joy at Christmas time. I love it, man, when I'm hearing "Oh Holy Night" and I'm listening to the carols that are sung in Sydney and in Brisbane, and all these singers are crying out, "A Savior has been born in Bethlehem." They don't know what that Savior's done, but I do. And my hope is that they might know what that Savior's done, but let us rejoice. This is a reason for great joy. The joy that we can know in suffering. It's not rejecting or pushing down the pain. It is letting the pain be, but it is acknowledging the pain. And it is also acknowledging the hope that is set before us. The last thing I want to remind us of today is that if we don't know joy, that's okay. There's an app for that. No, there's not. But there's a psalm for that. And there really, truly is. There's this psalm where the psalmist says, he says, "Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice." If things are not okay with you at Christmas, this, I hope, will be your prayer. Let my heart hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that have been crushed rejoice. This is a simple reminder that we can ask for it. And I wonder if this asking for joy isn't more so asking God to help us see the joy that's all around us. Help me see it, God. Help me know it. So as we head into Christmas, let us look and make room for moments of joy. Let us look and make room for the moments in the everyday to take gratitude and joy in the everyday, but also let us know the power of Christ in this space of our great, great, great suffering. This is how the Apostle Paul can say, "I know great sorrow, a man who all his friends abandoned him, a man who the church was turning its back upon him." He says, "I know great sorrow, but for this I will rejoice." I wonder if this isn't the joy that we are to be reminded of this Christmas, to allow the hope that is set before us to infuse into this moment now and give us reason for great joy. I wonder if you could stand with me, because Christ has come. Christ is coming. And Christ is coming. Christ is coming. And this Christmas season, we celebrate that together. We don't ignore the pain. We do not ignore the suffering. But we allow the hope that's set before us to give us joy in those spaces. And it is this reality that helps us to sing this song at Christmas time. So I wonder if we could sing together, Joy to the Lord. And wonders of his love. Do you know the wonders of the love of God this morning? Do we? Yeah, come on. I love that. This song also says, man, rocks, hills, and plains. Like, there is this creation singing the joy of the Lord. Father God, around us. And God, I also pray, Father, that your comfort would be our joy in this season, Lord, too. For those of us who are walking through suffering, Father, for those of us who are knowing the reality of pain, God, I pray that the joy that is set, the hope, and the things that are set before us, Lord, would infuse into the moments now and give us reason for great joy. And now, Father God, I pray that you would bless us and you would keep us. And God, that you would cause your face to shine upon us and to be gracious towards us. That you would lift the light of your countenance upon us, Father, and give us your peace. Now and for the days that lie ahead. And thank you, thank you, thank you for the wonders of your love. In your name we pray. And everybody said, Amen.